From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, those Friday into Saturday morning open lines. We'll also open up a bizarre hotline. No kidding. Well, here's some of the news of the day. It's getting kind of tense. In a rare public address, CIA Director General Michael Hayden has warned of new attacks by Al-Qaeda. He says our analysis assesses with high confidence that Al-Qaeda's central leadership is planning high-impact plots against the U.S. homeland. Hayden's very unusual public address was made at his request and at the request of the Council of Foreign Relations. The newly minted CIA chief also took the unusual step of making his appearance in his military uniform. Though a CIA director, he is not on active military assignment. Hayden's address appears to be part of a coordinated White House campaign leading up to the sixth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks next week. He warned, and this is a quote, "We assess with high confidence that Al-Qaeda is focusing on targets that would produce mass casualties, dramatic destruction, and significant aftershocks." Details on these warnings were not given, though, and the general was pressed for them by the audience, and he just didn't pass it on. A videotape that appears to feature Osama bin Laden is under analysis right now by the U.S. government. Under scrutiny is whether it really is bin Laden and whether the tape is old or new, according to these sources. A transcript of the tape shows that it contains no overt threats toward the United States. Some date references, including a mention of the Democrats gaining the majority in Congress and doing nothing right now, may indicate that the tape is new. On the line with us, Doug Hagman. He heads up the website and the investigative unit of Homeland Security U.S., not affiliated with, of course, Homeland Security. Doug, we talked yesterday, and I said if this tape comes out, we wanted you back. I don't know if you've seen the tape, but you've probably have seen the transcripts, huh? Is Doug there? No, he's not there. So we'll see if we can get him to get his quick reaction. Apologize for that. The Bush administration's late-night decision allowing Mexican trucks to ply U.S. roads triggered angry criticism from opponents of the trucking program. John Hill, head of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, gave the go-ahead for the trucks late Thursday night, allowing the Transportes Olympic of Nuevo León, Mexico, to drive its trucks beyond the roughly 25-mile limit from the border where they have been confined. In return, Mexico granted permission to Stagecoach Cartage in El Paso to operate in Mexico. The Teamsters Union up in arms over this situation. We're putting in a request to get James Hoffa back on the program sometime next week. I interviewed James, many years ago, and we will try to get his reaction to this. Let's see. They tell us that we have Doug Hagman back on the air. Doug, you there? Hello, Douglas. No, nope, we're not going to try it anymore. That's it for him. Let's hope we're not having massive phone problems tonight. And Stephen Fawcett, the search continues for him. Flight teams are following up on leads but have found nothing promising in their fourth full day for hunting for billionaire adventurer Stephen Fawcett. The search now involves about 26 aircraft, including OH-58 Kiowa and UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters from the Nevada National Guard. This is a tense situation. They just don't know where he is in that single plane. A West Palm Beach, Florida woman was in jail on charges of dousing her boyfriend with boiling water as he slept. Police did not know the motive, but said that Billy Reynolds admitted pouring the scalding water on him earlier this week. He suffered second-degree burns on more than 20% of his body and remained hospitalized on Friday. Two sisters have kept their dead mother in an undertaker's fridge for 10 years so they can visit her every weekend. Josephine and Vami Lamas could not bear to bury her after she died in 1997 at the age of 84. Instead, they have shelled out cash to keep her in cold storage at a funeral parlor so they can visit her. In Thailand, a cancer patient lying on a gurney waiting to be treated was fatally bitten by a viper snake at the hospital. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. In the United Kingdom, a teenage climber dialed emergency numbers when he was left clinging for his life to the side of a cliff and was put on hold. The 16-year-old was stuck more than an hour after he saw his friend plunge 40 feet to the ground. The friend suffered a fractured thumb, broken tooth, and facial injuries. He, Terry Price, just held on for an hour trying to dial. He was put on hold. He finally got help an hour later. In the early 1990s, Steve, as we'll call him, had an experience at night in which he dreamed he was taken aboard a spaceship. One moment, he was in bed. The next, recall being aboard a strange craft and in a room with other humans who were essentially naked. He didn't know why he was there or how he got there. Our producer, Tom Danheiser, had an opportunity to talk with Steve.
Now, when did you realize you were first implanted?
You don't really know for sure until you get the x-rays, you know. Yeah, you kind of just guess, but... I guess it was new for sure, I guess, in 05, beginning of 05.
And where is your implant?
It was in my left knee.
I'm curious, do you think it could be anything other than an implant from an alien?
That's a tough question. I really couldn't tell you.
Has your implant caused you problems?
Some.
And are you nervous about your surgery?
Not so much, just getting it over with.
Now, can you recall when it was this might have happened?
I read about 95, somewhere in there.
And does it bother you that you have been implanted?
Yes.
So why is it you think you were chosen?
Well, I don't know if it's anything about being chosen. I don't know about that. I think it's just, I don't know.
And have you told any of your friends what you think it is and about your surgery?
No.
So did you believe in alien life before you realized you may have something implanted in you?
No, not really. Speculations only.
And what do you think aliens hope to achieve by implanting you?
Control.
I have one last question. Does the thought of being implanted make you think that they, whoever they are, might have other plans as well for you?
Possibly.
In a moment, Dr. Roger Lear joins us. We're going to talk about implants. We'll also talk with Steve. And then later on this hour, we'll take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Roger Lear is author of Aliens and the Scalpel, and he has, of course, performed now 13 surgeries with his surgical team to remove objects suspected of being alien implants. Just a short time ago, I had the privilege of being with Roger as he received the Maverick Award at the Bay Area UFO Expo, and he's our guest this hour. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Hi, George. Really good to be with you again.
Likewise. Hey, tell us a little bit about this Steve case, and we're going to bring Steve in a few minutes here.
Okay. George, if you don't mind, I'd just like to digress for 1 second.
Sure.
I got a very interesting email this afternoon. It's a very short one, and I just want to read it to you. It says, Dr. Lear, my name is Paul Burkett, and I would like to ask you to do me a big favor for me tonight when you're on a Coast to Coast radio show. Please thank George Norrie, Premier Radio Networks, and all the staff and crew that make this show possible so that literally thousands of visually impaired individuals are able to receive knowledge of the subjects discussed on this program. To my knowledge, this information is not available to visually impaired individuals from any other source. Thank you in advance, Paul.
Well, how nice that was. Roger, do me a favor, email him back so somebody from his family can read him a response and just thank him from the bottom of our hearts.
I will certainly do that, George. Now, back to the subject at hand.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Steve, tell me about the Steve case.
Yeah, Steve is the 13th surgery in the series that we've done by ANS Research. He came to me by way of information from others and on the internet. I've gotten, I guess, quite a bit of publicity worldwide for doing this sort of thing, and we run a large amount of emails and contacts behind. But when I finally get to them, and they have physical evidence that's visual, such as a CAT scan or an X-ray. We ask them to send them to me, and they're evaluated by our radiologist. That's where we start. Now, Steve was able to supply us with an X-ray showing that there was an object in the knee. It was very apparent. We sent it to our radiologist. I had a consultation with him several times, and then he suggested that we get a CAT scan done to isolate the object and know exactly where it was. In the interim, we sent him a packet of forms, which are all questions having to do with his relationship to the alien abduction phenomena. He did answer the questions, and we were able to isolate certain instances. Now, that's the part of the criteria and protocol that we've established to do these surgeries. So you meet all the requirements, which he did, mm-hmm. and then we find out where the object is and if it is conceivable to remove this without producing any damage to the patient. As with any medical case, we still operate under the principles, ye shall do no harm. So if there's a discomfort, either psychological or physiological, and the patient has an unknown object, then they can come to me. We'll give them a physical examination, psychological examination, and then they become a candidate for surgery. At any time after that, they can say no. Steve fulfilled all this. He had direct recollection of particularly one event, some of which you read prior to me getting on the program. And also, I might mention, we don't allow any hypnotic regressions to be performed prior to the surgery. If the patient would like to have this done following the removal of the object, we can supply somebody such as Yvonne Smith, who's quite famous for doing this in the Southern California area, or Bud Hopkins or David Jacobs or somebody else to work with. So, as a matter of fact, Steve did want to do this, and the day following the surgery, Yvonne Smith did the hypnotic regression with him and was able to get some very precise details of the event that he consciously told us about.
Well, did you have this analyzed yet, Roger?
We've had some of the superficial analysis done. When we start doing these things, we try to look at things first from the inside out and gain as much knowledge as we can. This is all, you know, a quest for knowledge. So you have to start somewhere, and you don't start by tearing, you know, the engine apart. You know, let's look and see what we can learn from the outside. First of all, with the last two cases, which you may remember, we were able to use a Gauss meter and detect the electromagnetic field. Steve had one that was 4 milligauss. That's a fairly strong magnetic field. And then we have another instrument, some of which you can see in the photos that are on the COAST website. And we look at radio frequency detection. And we were able to isolate a radio frequency. I haven't had time to send it to anybody yet. And I know very little about electronics or radio. But if there's someone out there listening and they would like to know the frequency, it is 105.718894 megahertz. Once again, that's 105.718894 megahertz. Now, the last time we had one of these, it turned out that the frequency was a deep space communication frequency, and that was coming out of an object that was in somebody's toe.
Yeah, that's strange. Let's bring up Steve for just a moment here, Roger, and chat with him a little bit. This is not his real name. We're using an alias. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Good. How you doing, sir?
Good. So how do you feel now that most of this is behind you?
Well, it's a burden off my shoulders.
Literally, right?
Yes.
Well, Steve, you talked about the fact that
you remember that these beans were the typical gray beans, large heads, the upturned black eyes. What else can you tell us?
Well, I don't know if you have me mixed up with another person, but I didn't have, my recollection's not of big eyes and big heads. To me, the person that I've seen was...
Well, then the data I have has you mixed up with another person.
Maybe that is what's happening here.
All right, tell me what you remember.
Well, what happened to me, I was actually laying in bed, and something with a great force hit me right in my lower spine. Tremendous force. It actually almost jumped me out of the bed about a foot. And I remember just calling out, God, you know, just called out because I was in like shock. And I just laid there and I couldn't move. And all of a sudden I was just I was floating up to the top, up at, like in space somewhere. After that happened, I couldn't move. And I was just like, I was floating up in the space.
What made you decide to get this implant removed?
What made you decide to get it removed?
Yeah.
Well, it was over a 10-year period, I would think. About 10 years. But it was just the head trips that were going on and things that were happening in my life. And I guess, you know, you just have to, because you're almost... It's so rare, it's so off the wall of reality as we know it, that you don't really know if it's, did it really happen? But once you get, you know, once you get an X-ray, once you get a CAT scan, and you see, yeah, this thing is there, it's actually there. I mean, it just puts proof in the pudding, you know, it just helps you put it all together. But meanwhile, I mean, until you get all this figured out, you really don't know if it really happened or not, because it's just so off the wall, yes.
In your opinion, what do you think it was used for?
Say it again, sir?
In your opinion, what do you think it was used for?
I think it was used for mind control.
Really?
Yes.
Were they altering your mind? Were they channeling things to you? Were they trying to get you to do things?
It was more or less channeling. It was channeling in a way. It was almost as a consciousness, awareness of... like suggestion, things of that nature, until it finally just got to a point to where, you know, you actually kind of think it could be the Lord, it could be the Holy Spirit, it could be, you know, it could be God, until you start putting things together, until you really start, you know, being realistic about what is really happening. And, you know, you don't quite know until you do put it together.
Would you ever want to go through this again, Steve, this entire procedure?
Oh, no way. No way. And, you know, someone asked me once if I felt blessed because I was chosen. I don't know about being chosen for anything. It was it's just a mind trip, and it's really played a big, heavy game on my mind. It's just I wouldn't want to put it on anyone.
All right, Roger, in Steve's case, how many people are out there like him?
Well, in looking at the data just from the Oprah poll in the United States, where there's possibly more than 2% of the population that are admitted abductees, which I think is a conservative estimate, you put together that which is going on a worldwide basis, and then look at how many of them possibly have objects in their bodies. It's just my guess, and it's just a guess based on experience. I've been in 42 countries in 7 years, and I've talked to a lot of people. I think about 15%, which is quite similar. If we were going to tag whales, for example, or dolphins or bears, about 15% might give us enough information to do the task that we need to do. Also, I want to comment that Steve did undergo a hypnotic regression, and perhaps he doesn't have a complete memory of what he said, which I have on record. It would be interesting to send him now a copy of the tape, and he can.
Okay, so you're saying that the data that I have here in front of me, which says that he saw gray beans with large heads and enormous eyes, are you saying that's what he said earlier under hypnosis?
Yeah, I believe that came out under hypnosis, which he may have no recollection of.
All right, good. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Ask him again.
Well, he's gone, Roger, but we've got you. We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue the dialogue, and we'll open up the phone lines. But on Saturdays, Ian Punnett takes the throne, and he'll be on at 10 p.m. Pacific time, and he's on the line with us right now out of his hometown of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Hi, Ian.
To get the con on Saturday night. In fact, two great things. Hey, George.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I got Jack Cashel, Dr. Jack Cashel, which I just learned about. Not only has he won Emmys for his investigative television work, but also he has a PhD, which I didn't know about. But he's been tracking the latest in the connection between TWA Flight 800 and 9/11, and we thought since we're getting close to 9/11 to take a look at his research. Plus, Alan Turnbull is a new Coast to Coast guest. But he's doing researching to something which he's got the photos for, although they don't perhaps mean as much directly to us. I think it's going to be way interesting to explore secret air bases. He just happens to be doing a discussion of secret air bases in England, but he's got the goods to talk about secret air bases nationwide, worldwide. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow night.
Should be a fascinating show, Ian, and do give us an update, if you could, tomorrow on the search for Stephen Fawcett. I have admired that man for years, and most unfortunate with what might have happened.
Have you talked about the Area 51 connection? Is anybody?
No, I've gotten some emails on that. I may bring it up tonight a little bit, but that is a weird story all by itself. I think the strangest, and Nevada's big, the plane is very small, but it's very strange that with a certain geography there, they can't find him.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to spoil the, if you end up going this direction or not. Now, I've been sort of wondering, because I couldn't find a lot of information about his flight path or anything, so whether anybody has been able to determine that he would have been going either directly over or even nipping the edge of Area 51, or did he drift? And is it possible that for some reason he was unable to identify himself and either might have been shot down or might have intentionally been going over it, and then that's a whole other discussion after that.
Yeah, well, it sure is. Well, you know, Fawcett did not apparently file a flight plan, and, you know, who knows what would have happened had he tried to go over 51. I think they would have tried to force him down first and at least sent a plane up there to guide him down. I don't think Fawcett's the kind of guy to play around like that, Ian, but, man, it's just sad. Now, Ed Dames sent me an email yesterday and said within the next 2 days he'll have a pinpointed remote viewing location on where Fawcett is, and he says he's dead. So,
Major Ed Dames said in 2 days he'll have a location.
Yes.
Okay. But he does know that he's dead.
That's what he says, and
nowhere.
I wanted him to go on record with that, so he sent the email, and I read it last night.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess I would like to know more, and I'm sure the family would too.
Absolutely. Ian, you take care of yourself, and we'll listen in tomorrow night.
Bye, George.
All right. It's Ian Punnett, and we'll be back with more with Dr. Roger Lear and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Roger Lear. We'll go to your phone calls in just a moment. Roger, are you seeing more or less alien implant cases or implant cases right now?
Well, it looks to me like it's been pretty steady. I was away on vacation for 2 weeks, and when I came back, I had 1,500 emails lined on one site and 400 on the other. So,
God, you can't handle all those.
Well, I have to have help, so I assigned my secretary the task of kind of weeding through them, and I can only get the ones that look promising to even answer.
Do you have other surgeons strategically located throughout the country that you can refer people to, or is it still pretty much restricted to you and your staff?
Well, it's pretty much restricted to this area. Now, when we go to various places, there'll be physicians who will be very interested and multi-specialties in working with me. There was two that contacted me when we were at the Bay Area conference. And they, one was an ophthalmologist, and he said, if you ever got a case that has anything to do with the eye, please give me a call. I'd be happy to go take a look. And as a matter of fact, one of the new cases, one of the new contacts, is an eye case.
All right, let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're up with Dr. Roger Lear. Hi.
Oh, hi, George. Thank you so much. Pleasure to speak with you tonight.
Thank you.
Dr. Lear, I've had a very similar dream, and I always thought that that dream had some special importance because it was so extremely vivid. And I've seen three UFOs. I don't know what's going on. I have no theories except I've seen and done these things. But I have a lot more detail in my dream, and I was wondering if I could talk to you about that, maybe email you at some point.
Certainly. You can just go to my website, which is alienscalpel.com, and go ahead and send us an email with the information, and we'll be happy to take a look at it.
Oh, that's super. Thanks so much.
You're quite welcome, and thank
Roger, a few years ago, I was a witness to your 11th surgery, the woman who had that implant taken out of her cheek. Remember, you and the surgeon had a heck of a time getting it because it was dancing all over the place?
I certainly do.
Did you ever get the results of that?
Yes, I've gotten quite a bit of it now. As a matter of fact, that was one of the cases where I was working with Dr. Perovic at University of Toronto for two solid days in the material science laboratory. And we looked at some stuff that was just absolutely incredible, which he had no explanation for whatsoever. And you have to remember, this scientific laboratory is probably one of the finest in the world. They're the ones that did the analysis of the space shuttle Columbia debris.
Very good. Next up, first-time caller line, you're on with Dr. Lear. Hi.
Hi there.
Yes, go ahead. Well, there's another one that has bit the dust here. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, and I have, like, these things that happen where I'll be taking a shower and I'll feel something and I'll bend down and it's like scratches and I don't know where they're coming from. Do you have any idea where what that might be?
Well, have you been having any dreams or about UFOs or something floating above your bed or seeing entities in your room or anything that's related to that?
Yeah, actually, yes. I had a sleep paralysis experience where and I had come home from the hospital after I had my child and I hadn't slept in a long time, and I felt paralyzed, like I couldn't move. There was something near me. It was scary. It was like felt like he was waving a sheet on top of me and I couldn't breathe. So fast. It was like a horror flick kind of thing. And I tried screaming out to my husband, help me, help me. And I could hear him saying I don't know if he was even saying anything. All I know is I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. And I just started saying the Lord's Prayer and it went away. It stopped. And that happened another time earlier, like when I was a lot younger. I felt that something was in the room and it was just evil. And I said the Lord's Prayer and it went away. But this thing that I called about is I get scratches on my skin, and I don't know. I don't have any pets. I don't have anything. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm not using loofahs with any like anything breaking in anything I'm using. It's just frustrating because I'll look down at my arm or my leg, and like there's scratches there. It's just weird.
Okay, here's what I'd like you to do. Again, go to my website. We have a picture, a photo section, and some of these photos are scratches.
Okay.
They look like scratches. They feel like scratches. They usually occur or appear suddenly. Someone goes to bed, may have an experience like you're talking about, and then winds up with these things in the morning. These are quite common. But also, a lot of people out there are really going to criticize me. I haven't crossed over. Please, folks, don't shoot me. But there is such a thing as hypnagogic sleep and sleep paralysis. as is the old hag syndrome, where somebody feels like they have a heavy weight or something sitting on their chest. I'm not saying this is what happened, what is happening to you, but it does happen to certain individuals. And, you know, when I look at things, it's a little bit different than some of the other researchers, because the first thing in my mind is trying to explain this with some scientific background, academic science, you know, applied to the situation. So please don't feel that I'm disregarding what you're saying, but go to the website, look at the scratches, see if they are similar to what is happening to you. And again, send me an email, and maybe I can get you to send me some photos.
Okay, great. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on with Dr. Lear. Hi.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're well, thanks.
This is Utah Red. I got a couple questions for you. One, the implants, if they're metallic and you go get x-rays, that's fine. But what happens if you guys do an MRI? That MRI machine is a gigantic magnet. Wouldn't that cause damage or even cause death? Question number two is, if somebody's been abducted, what are some of the other signs? For instance, like lumps. My wife's got a lump about the size of a golf ball in the back of her head under the skin. A buddy of mine that swears he's been abducted when he was like 2 years old, he turned his arms up, his palms up, and he stretched out the hand, and he's got a lump right where the tendons are, right behind the wrist. There's one lump on each wrist. Just kind of curious if that's abnormal, if that's an cyst, or is that possible something?
Okay, question number one, MRIs. Number one, I try not to do MRIs, but you have to remember that since the days of early MRIs, MRI equipment has become quite sophisticated. I've undergone an open heart surgery, and I have a lot of metal in my chest. I've had many MRIs done within the last few years, and the metal doesn't fly out of your body. It's only certain kinds of metal that are very subject to the magnets, the rotating magnets of the MRI, but we try not to do them at all, because when we know that there's an object there, an MRI isn't going to give us any information whatsoever, because the signal that you're getting, which appears on the film or the plate or the picture, is just going to be a massive blast of white light. You won't know anything, so you really don't get any knowledge from it. So we don't do MRIs. Now, if someone comes and nothing is seen on a CAT scan or nothing is seen on an X-ray, and then they want to have an MRI done, I have no objection to that. Question number two, lumps and bumps. Yes, these do occur post-abduction. And again, I always tell everybody, if they got a lump or a bump or they can't find a cause, such as an ingrown hair or an ordinary cyst, or they don't have a history of these things forming, or they've already gone to their physician and he has no explanation, then please go have a plain, simple, ordinary x-ray taken, which you can do quite easily by just going to your local friendly chiropractor and tell them that you got a lump and you may have something inside, and they'd be happy to take a picture for you.
Now, back to the signs of being abducted, specifically.
Specific signs of being abducted are both the psychological and physiological. It's a traumatic event, both physically and psychologically. Some of the physical signs are extreme thirst, feelings of influenza, muscle aches, pains, headache, possibly nausea, some things related to possible radiation sickness. You may have areas on the skin that are erythematous, they're red. You may have areas that are swollen. You may be extremely thirsty and dehydrated. Sometimes there's electromagnetic effects where, following an abduction, lights will come on, or you'll change the station on the TV. There's certain dietary things that happen for one who's being abducted. A lot of people are salt cravers. They love to eat salt. A lot of them become vegetarians that were in the beginning carnivores, like some of the rest of us. So there's a number of different signs and signals. Sometimes you can't sleep. There's fears and phobias. Some people are afraid of clowns. Some children get in the dental chair, everything's just fine, until the nurse turns on the light and brings it over the face, and then the child just freaks out. Some kids are totally afraid of doctors wearing white coats because sometimes these intelligences represent themselves as doctors. People who cannot stand to look at animals who have large eyes, such as an owl or a deer, sometimes the reason for this is because they're looking at the faces with large eyes, and it's a terrifying experience. Like Dr. John Mack went over the seven traumas of alien abduction. They're all in his book, in his first book called Abduction. So if they have any necessity to learn more about these things, I would suggest that you get a copy and read it.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Is that me?
Yes, sir. I do believe
hey,
so.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, Dr. Lear, I actually called your office today to try to get in contact with you. I've been doing a lot of research here. I couldn't figure out what was going on with me. And then I was shown exactly what was going on with me and shown where the implant was placed in my sinus cavity, as well as an implant that was on my left arm about midway up. And I actually was able to backtrack into this collective of thought that these people or these beings have, and I was able to suck out a bunch of knowledge of what is going on.
Who showed you where they were?
Well, this alien entity appeared to me in the window and started flashing pictures into my head and trying to communicate with me via telepathically. And when I refused to go, then it started to flash the picture of where the implant was located in my forehead.
Roger, is this unusual that they'll point these out?
First time for me, but anything is possible. If you want to verify this, again, simply go have an X-ray taken, because I have not seen any object that was in this 3D world that we deal with that won't show up on a film, no matter how thin or small. I've even X-rayed the silicon wafers used in the industry. They show up on an X-ray. So if you feel this entity was telling the truth, and sometimes they don't tell you the truth, but if you want to find out, have an X-ray taken.
Sometimes, as Jacques Vallée has said, they are messengers of deception, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're up with us in Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much, Dr. Lear. My name is Lisa. I'm calling from Washington, and it's very coincidental you're on the phone today, because last week I aired your program, Implants, on my public access television program. And I've been researching radio frequency ID chips, and I've been told, and I'm still looking for the law, that by 2013, all humans will have to have these implants in them. And I wanted to find out if you think there might be some connection between us. I really believe that aliens have some kind of control of our government, and that is why there's this cover-up, because they won't allow the government to tell us the truth. And so perhaps this implanting is coming from the mandate of the aliens. And I was wondering if you feel that, and I'd also like to tell about my what I feel was an alien abduction afterwards, if we have time.
I will put you on hold, Lisa, for next hour, but let's get Roger very quickly to explain that. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay. Oh, gosh, where to begin? She opened up such a can of worms. I don't know where to dive in.
And we've got a minute left for you.
Yeah, the government. Maybe you could go to, again, my website, and you're going to see there a little teaser for our film that we're doing called Earth's Original Sin. And we cast the impression, which is some people accept as truth, that there was some kind of a deal made between Eisenhower and intelligences from elsewhere. If they are, then there's absolutely a direct relationship between things like implants and other skullduggery that's going on this planet. But it's speculative. No one knows. And I try in real life to deal with solid facts that I can get my hands around or stick under a microscope or do a scanning electron microscopy or other tests on in this 3D world.
But Roger, once again, thank you, and congratulations once again on the Maverick Award. Dr. Roger Lear, website alienscalpel.com. His books, of course, UFO Crash in Brazil, The Aliens and the Scalpel, a little DVD out called The Scientific Study of Alien Implants. If you go to his website, you'll see the information on all of that. I'll be back in a moment with 3 hours now of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.